A lot of people, I was going to say everybody, hated Shinoda.
As a person.
He was a very obnoxious person. Thoughtless, it seemed to me, and to most the people I talked to. He was in someplace in Europe or out of town anyway, on vacation,
mm-hmm.
when this Knudsen thing happened, when Knudsen got the axe. And it was just assumed that Shinoda was done mm-hmm. by everybody. And the people in the studio over there who had been very, very arrogant and thinking they really were working for the right guy. He was going to be the next one to take Knudsen's place. When this happened, I started waving banners up above the wall. Help! Help! And other things like, have mercy on us and things like this. They knew it was over. There was a little humor in it in that sense. But
is there some story about a sinking sun?
Yeah,
yeah.
That was one of them. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
That was just one of the signs that they put up, and you know, did it then. We used to do a long time ago when I first went to Ford. We used to do other weird things over the wall like that.
Yeah.
Throwing flying saucers over the wall, huge that we make up in cardboard, throw them off, you know. Rockets. They were still doing matchbook rockets when I left. One time somebody thought of this fantastic idea of taking the pencil shavings from all of the pencil sharpeners in the studio and dumping them in the wastebasket and then turning this big fan up and dumping them into the fan and blowing them all over into the next studio, which was... It was very impressive. I happened to be in the studio when all this stuff came over. It was very impressive.
Plague of locusts.
It was awful.
Well, tell us a bit about that kind of an atmosphere. Obviously, you people are very talented people, apart from many other types of technicians. And the creative spark that gave you sort of a punky sense of humor, plus the fact that you worked as long hours, you must have gotten a little slap at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many many times my wife is I don't think my son hardly ever knew me. I was working late every night and Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
And it got, in fact, that's why I moved back to Dearborn, because I was working every night and Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, you lived in the suburbs.
I lived in Birmingham.
Oh, of course.
I moved back here, and I don't think I worked 3 hours overtime after I moved back here.
Oh, great.
But anyway, that it was pretty bad. But when you get into that, there was one night I remember when they worked all night and went home at 6 o'clock in the morning and came back after the show and worked that afternoon.
Now you're working to get models ready
for a show the next morning.
For the Friday evening.
Yeah.
Friday morning.
Usually Friday. Yeah.
Right.
Usually Friday. But it was bad. Of course, on the other hand, I remember my father worked. During the Depression, when he first went to work for Smith Engine and Grills, or right after the Depression, he was at work for 3 days.
He wouldn't see him for 3 days.
Slept on the drawing board. Yeah. But
there was in the Ford Design Center at least a sense of camaraderie and.
That was what it was. When you got to the point it was 3 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning, things were getting so ridiculous that you had to act stupid. It was the only thing left to do. And so it naturally carried over into the days. We were always doing crazy things once in a while, not to hurt anybody, but
right,
practical jokes. And
exactly.
It just kept you going.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept your mind alive, too. You can't sit at that desk all day and say, I am going to think of an idea. You can't do it. You got to get up and
walk around.
You know, go bother somebody else.
But on the whole, it works. It seemed to work, didn't it?
I think it did.
You came up with some remarkable concepts.
And there used to be this tremendous spirit, which in the last few years I didn't see there at all. of course, now everything looks alike. Even though, as I say, back in the 58, 59, it was getting pretty ridiculous, but nothing looked alike, at least. They were all different.
Yeah.
And that 1958 Buick Century, whatever it was, I don't think anybody could ever get any more chrome on a car than that car had on. I think that was probably a world's record. Unless Barris did something. George Barris might have.
Who was George Barris?
Oh, he was the big customizer.
Oh, B-A-R-R-U-S?
E-I-S.
I-S, yeah.
Barris, in California.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he did the one they used on the Munsters show, that sort of a coffin mobile or whatever that thing was, their limousine. And, well, he did a lot of cars, a lot of custom cars.
Did you do any for Ford?
He did some work for us, and I can't honestly remember what it was. I think he was the one that made over that Futura for the Batmobile.
I wonder if he had. I think he had done that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think he sort of took it over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, made it for the
Batman
television show.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Well, it was a fun time, to say the least.
It was really exciting.
Yeah.
The big disappointing thing to me was, and. I have to blame Don De La Rosa for this, was when I got demoted from a manager to grade 9. That was grade 9. I was a grade 11 manager, mm-hmm. and was getting a bonus and a lease car and all that stuff. And
that was the demarcation line. Grade 11, yeah. Can you tell us how it happened?
I would dearly love to know how it happened. Mm-hmm. I can tell you what happened, actually. I was home. It was around Christmas time, just before Christmas, and I was home with the flu. And I was working for Dave Wheeler, he was a chief stylist, like, and De La Rosa was like a super chief.
Yeah, right.
Under Bourdonnais.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave called me up, and he said, "How long have you been at grade 9? This is like on the Navy ship when tell the guy his mother's dead.
I remember, yeah.
He said, "How long have you been a grade 9? I said, "Well, I'm not a grade 9, Dave. I'm a grade 11. He said, "Oh, is that right?" He said, "Well, that's funny." He said, "That's probably wrong." He said, "Well," and I said, and I got to thinking, I thought, what the hell's going on? What the hell's going on? I said, I'll be right in. I didn't give a damn how bad I felt.
Right.
And I came in and I found out I'd been demoted.
Did you ask someone?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I asked De La Rosa, and of course he was drunk. He was always drunk after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
He and Bourdonnais both.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, I told you 6 months ago." "Told me what?" He said, "Well, when I got rid of that department," he got rid of the department. And instead of putting me in with all the rest of the managers, and saying, "Well, let's take the guy that's got the best performance review or the worst performance review and less seniority and stuff like this and demote him." He just demoted me, got rid of the department and demoted me.
The Special Projects Studio?
Whatever the name of that studio was. I really don't remember what the name of it was. But that left the bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really liked Don after that because it was a very thoughtless thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never go to anybody above him because
it just wasn't done, huh?
Well, he and Bourdonnais were.
Ah.
And they both seemed to like my wife, which I didn't appreciate.
Mm, yeah.
She didn't appreciate that either.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't go to Bourdonnais. And the only one above them was William Clay Ford, and he was never there, and he didn't know what the hell was going on anyway.
Yeah, right.
And Henry was drinking quite a bit then, too. And Iacocca and De La Rosa were like that.
Right.
So that was it. I couldn't do anything.
What were you assigned as a grade 9? What
well, the first time I got Of course, I still had a lease car at grade 9. That was an advantage. I didn't get a bonus or anything. I didn't take much of a pay cut because top of grade 9 wasn't too far down, actually. It was some... Well, actually, I did take one because they upped the 11s by $200, and I missed out on that. So in that sense, I did. But I got put in with Dave Ash, who I think they felt would be most sympathetic toward my problem, and because I was kind of shook up,
mm-hmm.
and which is true, I got along with Dave more than anybody else,
yeah.
better than anybody else, and so I went back in interiors again,
mm-hmm. which was to your liking.
Oh, fine,
yeah.
And
by this time, Dave was heading up the interior.
Yeah.
Area,
yeah, he was. I think. Yeah, of course. Yeah, McGuire was gone, and he was head of the interiors. Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know. We were working on. Granada, I think. Granada interiors and instrument panels.
This is in the early 70s.
Oh, I must have been working on something else because Granada came out in 75, didn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was working on first. My mind probably wasn't on it, really.
Yeah, probably. Weren't too happy.
But then we did get into the Granadas, and that was quite a unique instrument panel. It was quite a good-looking instrument panel for being a cheap instrument panel.
Yes, it was. You did a marvelous job of that.
I did that one,
yeah.
Obviously with help of other designers, but I was in charge of it. I was still in charge of something. You know. And then some more work on the interiors on those cars, and I think the last thing I worked on in the interiors was the, not that I designed it, but I worked on it, with other designers was the new the new Thunderbird instrument panel that was in the Thunderbird just before the one that's out now, the
right.
box.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute, it's the one that's out now, I guess.
Oh.
No, it was the electronic one, the black faced
right.
electronic
yeah.
one, whichever
yeah.
one that was.
Yeah.
I forgot. Then they sent me back over to exteriors again. Oh no. Well,
this
is
the mid-70s.
Yeah, up to 81. I really only worked on bits and pieces of stuff. And then I got demoted again by seniority.
Oh, so what that big shakeout you had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got demoted to an 8. So I lost the lease car then. But if I hadn't been demoted the first time, you see, I would have been okay because I had much more seniority than anybody else in that category. But when you got down to 9s, there were a lot of old-timers. That had a lot of seniority.
By this time, Della Rosa had left?
No.
No, you're still there?
No, I think he was still there. No, he didn't leave until...
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, go back to the Granada interior. That's intriguing. Can you give us a sort of a capsule history of how that was unique and how it came about and what sort of concept it was?
Well, it's been quite a while ago, but... It was unique in that we made the instrument cluster with the components as close to each other as about I think they'd ever been.
Mm.
And also the concept was to make a good-looking, dressy, sort of classic-type instrument panel,
mm-hmm.
boxy a little bit maybe,
mm-hmm.
lush-looking,
mm-hmm.
and yet have it be cheap so that they could, in the base model, have it be very inexpensive, and then by adding appliques, wood grain and whatever, to bring it up to a level to where they could have quite a luxurious model,
mm-hmm.
because the concept. Luxurious looking, anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, plastic can look luxurious, I guess. because they wanted the Granada to have quite a full range from being able to buy a cheap one up to. Well, the ultimate of their Granada, of course, was the Versailles. We did the, I did that too, I forgot.
Did you?
Yeah, I forgot, we did that. Myself and another fellow, we worked on that.
That used the Granada platform?
We took the whole Granada and, I didn't do the exterior, we just did the interior.
Yeah.
And we did the Rolls-Royce seats, pleated seats in it, and took the instrument panel and covered it with real leather,
Instead of the
molded crash band, yeah.
Yeah.
And the and made a special wood grain appliques of really glossy wood, like you'd have in a luxury car. Oh, put ashtrays in the armrests and different armrests than the regular Granada on it. It came off pretty good, and Bourdonnais was quite happy with it. That was his baby. He was that was his idea. Yeah,
was it?
Because he was trying to get a cheap Seville.
Right.
And he sold that to. Well, I guess it was Iacocca.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. He brought him over here, and we pulled the car out there, and they took a ride around the whole.
Drivable prototype.
Oh yeah. Well, we just had a regular Granada.
Of course.
In our metal shop and trim shop and everything, we just did the whole thing.
Exactly.
Put a fiberglass hood on it. And metal shop made the grill out of brass and chrome plated it.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Have they picked the name yet? By then.
Versailles?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I don't know. I think that was, well, it was Lincoln Versailles. Gee, I don't know where that name came from.
Might have been Bourdonnais.
It very well could have. It seemed like it was always, when I started on the project, it was the Versailles.
Always the Versailles.
So maybe he did it. I don't know. Did he say who did it?
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that was definitely his baby, his concept.
Mm-hmm.
And it came off pretty good, but it still always looked like a Granada to me.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And in fact, I still look at that car, even now it's a new body, and it still looks like a Granada to me.
Right. Well, didn't they use that platform for years?
I guess so, yeah.
All the way even, up to almost.
Yeah, this new skin, I guess, is still on the old thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well.
Well, that must have been fun.
That was interesting, an interesting project. There are little projects like that that I keep forgetting about, that they were kind of a pain in the neck, but they were a lot of fun.
At this point, did you get credit for these things internally? Did people know that you had come up with things like this, these concepts, or at least worked on them from initial concepts, brought them to
sometimes,
fruition?
Sometimes. In the case of, not so much in the case of the Versailles, although Bourdonnais knew, well, of course, he was the boss. He knew I worked on it and who worked on it, you know, either exterior or interior. So you did get credit in that sense, but I had already been discredited so much with Bourdonnais that I don't think it would have done any good anyway. Anyway, things like the taillight I mentioned with the backup light in the middle,
yes.
I got credit for that from Dave Ash. And the two headlights and where there was only one, I got credit from that from Damon Woods. I was working for Damon Woods at that time.
Yeah.
And the Ford, the 57 Ford grill, which was not a beauteous grill, but it was an extremely big grill, but very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I had worked out this way to make it very cheap. That's what they wanted. Things like that. Definitely the name Thunderbird, I got credit for that, that's
right,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's no doubt. And the medallion, too.
Yeah.
Although there were many other ones later designed by other people.
Your original was the one first used.
Not that one, though. Not with the one with the two heads. And things of that nature. But other things like... I had a lot to do with the parking light on the 1956 Ford grill. Well, it was one of those things that everybody had a lot to do with, and I don't think anybody knew who designed that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way most things came about. I think the big swash molding, that check molding on the side of the 55 Ford,
right.
At least I could say Ken Nelson did that.
It used to be known as Crusoe's hash mark, wasn't it?
Could be, yeah.
Someone mentioned that.
He liked it. I know they were putting things like that on a lot of things. I know Dave Ash he was so thrilled with the idea that he had me do one that was a loop. It came down the side of the car and made an actual loop and went back. And I thought, oh my God, Dave, you're cracking up. You know, but I did it.
Yeah.
He always used to ask unreasonable things of me, and he took advantage of me all the time, but he was really a nice guy.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Really a nice guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I used to really dislike him, though, for the things, the nutty things he do. He used to have a, he used to come up, he used to take great pleasure in coming up to my drawing table and with a long drafting tube and going and right in my ear with the end of this tube. And then the other thing he used to really love to do when he saw I was really concentrating, he had us on the front of my desk, there's a, like you have the drawing table, and then in the front there's kind of a another table for the guy ahead of you to use if he turns around behind him. It's like a reference table. He had this set of Van Auken bumper guards on that table. Now, I don't know if you know what those were, but they were like bumper guards that you stuck on your bumper. They were auxiliary bumper guards that were about 18 inches high or something. Like you could, and all chrome with a big chrome ball on the top of each one of these pipes. And he used to love, when I was concentrating hard and didn't know he was coming up, he would come up and he'd push those off on the marble floor. And it would just about send me to heaven, I'll tell you. And I know if he hears this, he'll remember that. Things funny. Like that that Dave Ash did.
But on balance, a good solid...
Oh, he's a good designer. Excellent. Especially on... I would say, well, he did the Mustang, the first Mustang, I think. And especially on jewelry items like crests and instrument panel detail work and cloth, seat trims, things like that. He's really top-notch, I think.
Did you get into cloth work?
Not too much, no.
Yeah.
Not too much. Mostly in seat design.
Seat design.
The color and trim people upstairs would handle that, because but they worked for Dave too, and Dave had a lot to say about what happened. But gee, the last few years, well, I'll tell you, some of the most exciting things I worked on was when I was working for Alex Tremulous in another studio that was sort of called Advanced Styling, I guess. And we did some cars that I think some are still kicking around, 3/8 size models of a flying car. It had a rotor in the front and two in the back. It was called the Volare.
I've heard of that.
And
seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I was the manager of the studio. I think basically Jimmy Powers designed that car, but I had the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the 3/8 size models we did in that studio, working for Alex Tremulous, who was an utterly nutty guy. Well, he did the Tucker. He designed the Tucker.
Yes, right.
And that's kind of nutty.
Yeah.
We did some pretty far out stuff.
Did you work with him on any of his three-wheeled things?
Oh, yeah. Gee, we had one that was...
The gyroscopes.
He got really deep into gyroscopes after I wasn't working with him, but we did I did one three-wheel one with him that was called a stiletto or something like that. That was his thought was that it really should be two wheels, but he got into that pretty deep.
Yeah,
he had a little model that he made or had made in the metal shop, and it had a flywheel in it, and it was about a couple feet long, and you could take an air hose, and the flywheel had vanes on it, so you could take an air hose, and the air would make this flywheel really start to spin fast. And then you could shove this car, and it would go the whole length of the studio, which was probably about 60 feet, and stay upright from the gyroscope. Yeah. And then he did that model, a full-size model, it's called the Gyrotron or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But of course, that wasn't a real gyroscope.
Never really got off the ground. He's still dabbling in gyroscopes, as far as I know.
Could be. Is he still in California?
Still in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that must have been a fun time.
Oh, that was
interesting.
Yeah, he was an exciting guy to work with, even though he didn't have a lot of. Well, as I say, Bob McGuire never particularly liked. He couldn't seem to control Alex.
Uh-huh.
I know one time I was working for Alex. Alex was like executive designer, and Bob was the chief over him. and I was a manager under Alex.
Right.
And Bob called me in, and he said, can't you do something to keep Alex under control? And I said, gee, how can I do that? He's my boss. What do you want me to do? He said, well, just try. Anyway, do something. So a lot of times...
What do you mean? Too
Alex,
far out? Come
too far out. Okay. Yeah, he said, try to keep him down a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I used to try to do that. And of course, Alex would say, well, hey, come on, you're not thinking far enough out. I'll get rid of you if you don't, you know, get the ideas. You know? Don't be afraid. And I couldn't say, well, I'm supposed to tell you to not do that.
Impossible situation.
Yeah. Well, McGuire knew he could trust me, and so did Alex. Alex was a good friend.
Uh-huh.
I liked Alex.
Yeah.
But...
By all accounts, I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody would accuse him of making up the stories he'd tell. But I don't think anybody could make up those stories. They were good. I think he might have stretched them a little bit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But they were legitimate stories.
Did he ever tell you much about the Tucker? How that came about?
Yes, but I honestly don't remember.
Yeah.
He had quite a few stories about the Tucker. No, I don't. Of course, that was a pretty wild operation when they were trying to get that thing going. Yeah. No, I don't.
Well, after the Granada, which was a signal success, conspicuous success, and should have given you a cachet that around the center, did it?
I get a fair amount of credit for designing that instrument panel,
right.
And as it wore on people, they began to realize it was pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
No, my days were over.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
Because of the demotion?
Yeah, it was just done.
You lost your enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, and I was too old.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, they had all these young kids coming up.
Yeah.
If you didn't make it when you're young, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I knew that I'd had it, so I thought, well, I'm just going to stay here as long as I have to and leave, because it's no fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm put in competition with kids that can run circles around me, rendering wise.
The new technicians,
yeah. The schooling was much better,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to do things in so many more media than I was able to. In the old days of the airbrush, I used to be a star, but the airbrush went down the tubes, and they were doing things in other things like dry mark and things like that, and I and big pastel stuff, and I didn't know much about that. I never really learned that, and I tried to learn it, but it takes time to learn something like that.
Yeah.
And you can't.
You can do it on the job.
But I had to.
But you had to.
Yeah.
You did it all. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I had to. But so it really wasn't much going on after that. Wheel covers and wheels and a few more tail lights and grills and stuff like that.
This was in the late 70s?
Up till the time I left, yeah.
Which was when?
81. I was working in with Walt Goldwitzer, and I don't know who the executive stylist was in there, but on the Escort,
mm-hmm.
and the Topaz. And
did you have any input into those designs?
I did some grills. I did a grill for some sport version of the Escort.
Which never came off.
I don't think it did. I don't recall seeing it on the street.
No.
But one of the Topazes is a very similar, or one of those cars has a very similar grill to it.
Uh-huh.
Almost looked like they took the wood model I'd made and stuck it in there, but I don't know if it was or not. It wasn't thrilling. It was just louvers. Everything is louvers. Louvers and egg crate, and they all look alike.
Well, in spite of the glitch at the end of your career, it was an exciting time.
Oh, definitely.
And you enjoyed your tenure.
Oh, I enjoyed it all, really. I said the last year or so was, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it anyway, but I was just getting tired of it. It's like burning out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
I'd had it. I was anxious for them to come out with this minivan.
Oh, yes. Did you work on that?
I didn't work on that, one that's coming out now, because they hadn't gotten into that. But one of the last things before I left that studio where they were working on that, which was probably in 79 or 80, was I did a study, put together all the photographs of all the Japanese vans that they have over there, and I was totally flabbergasted at how many they had, and how what a variety they had, from very small up to comparatively large, but none as big as what we were making. I just thought it was fantastic. Now I see the Toyotas. They've got a Toyota over here now.
Yeah.
That looks a little funny. That isn't the one that they had when I was doing the study.
Uh-huh.
I'm anxious to see the Ford one. I think the Chrysler one looks great.
Uh-huh.
I really like it.
But if you've seen the Aerostar, you that's really exciting too.
Well, but is that really the Aerostar?
No, I mean the compromise.
The model I'm seeing in the paper is not the real car that's going to come out.
No.
If it looked like that, it'd be great.
Wouldn't it?
It isn't going to look like that. I know that.
Yes, right.
If it does, I'll be really amazed. But I was in over there at Design Center here a couple of years ago, and I looked at the model, and I thought, oh, that's really exciting.
Yes, right. Yeah. And I'm afraid that's the one that's prevailed.
Real wheel drive, too, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Now that's an interesting, just a last minute commentary on where you get an exciting design and the product planners take over and chop it to pieces.
Well, I suppose that happens. It happens a lot. I was trying to remember the one time on the 1959 Ford. Now that was a committee designed car. And it was almost designed, McNamara was the committee.
Yeah, right.
But I remember he didn't want to look at the car until everything on it was designed, even the accessory side view mirror and the antenna. So when he saw the car, to say whether he liked the design, it had all the accessories on it, and it was top of the line.
Oh, my.
That was really weird. It was worse than any product planner, I think. If you treat product planners properly, you can usually confuse them enough to get your own way.
That's good. That's a good statement.
They aren't really as devious as you think they think they are.
Yeah, right.
I think the designers are more devious.
Uh-huh.
And it was a lot of fun to work with them.
It's really the designers who called it to.
In the end, the product planners have to, of course, keep the costs and the basic design trend, I'd say, as to what the size, price, and maybe even color. They may find some color isn't selling well or something.
Is it still a designer's world in the automotive industry?
Well, I think that's the most exciting and romantic end of it.
But, I mean, are they still the concept makers, and that pretty much prevails throughout?
If you want to go and look at the new models before they come out on the road, you have to go and look at them in the Design Center showroom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where they come from.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I think wouldn't you say that was an effective commentary on the history of automotive design? It's really the